Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Murder and Misery, our true crime podcast. We are your hosts. My name is Heather, and I know absolutely nothing about true crime.
And my name is Jillian, and I consider myself somewhat of a true crime expert.
Yes, Jill is our resident true crime expert. And we created this podcast so that Jill could teach me about all things true crime, both locally and nationally, and to take you guys along for the journey, so that if you too know nothing about true crime, you can learn something. Or maybe hear another perspective about stories you already know.
So first, my mom, or no, first, Tina, our number one fan listener, Tina, my aunt, thought it would be funny if I mentioned that I just dropped her off at the fair right before I got here. She thought it would be funny if I mentioned I dropped her off and her sister.
Oh. So not your mom.
So not mention my mom. Just number
just
one
Tina
fan.
Tina and her sister.
Aunt Tina, number one fan, and her sister, who shall not be named, who is my mom. I don't know why she was okay. Just like, you should do that on the podcast. And I'm like, okay, we take listener requests.
We do take listener requests. You might remember Tina from her story of a jewelry robbery.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of requests, today's case was requested by a listener named Samantha. So, thank you for recommending this case. And so, let's just jump right in. This case takes place in Hannibal, Missouri, which is about an hour from where Heather and I live. Y'all that aren't familiar around here might recognize it as the hometown of Mark Twain.
And
the
but setting... probably not if you're not from around here.
What do you mean?
I just feel like not very many people know that.
Nobody. People outside. I feel like maybe
I think
have a...
some people do, but like, do I mean, just... do you know where any other author came from? No.
I don't really read books. So is but, that just a Missouri you know, fascination?
I think it's because we live close to here.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
That doesn't make sense.
I mean, he was like a very influential, like, what do they call it? Like American...
novelist?
Yeah. Like he was one of the first like true American novelists or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I don't know where any other first American novelists came from.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking that if I don't know that, it could be because I'm dumb. We have discussed that before, and I do not remember anything from school, so it could be from that as well. But I'm just thinking, if I don't know where any of the rest of them came from, chances are people who aren't from here do not know where he's from.
It really, I feel like it might be because we live around here, because, like, I grew up, like, oh, like, Huckleberry Finn, like, Tom Sawyer,
well,
Hannibal,
people read
Missouri.
Those books, I think, but I just don't know if, I just don't know if he's as famous as he is here.
That makes a lot of sense.
You know?
Yeah, well, it's Hannibal. It's a tiny little town in Missouri, but the whole Mark Twain thing was in the 1800s, and yeah. We're going to talk about some more recent events that took place in the small town of Hannibal.
So, I went on a ghost tour there.
Ooh, spooky.
Yeah.
When?
I don't know how many years ago that was. Darian's sister wanted to go for her birthday, so we all packed up and went, and we drove around and looked at things, and then we went to a cemetery with these sticks.
Oh, the broad twisty thing?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Darian and I were the only two that had a ghost talk to us in the cemetery.
I would not. I would leave.
I forget what we named him, but I think we named him Philip.
Mm-mm.
Darian will have to confirm.
That I didn't know they had that there.
Yeah.
I guess it's known for having a
It's known
haunting.
For being spooky.
Yeah. Interesting.
And maybe, it was kind of spooky.
Maybe it was Mark Twain talking to you.
Well, it was Philip.
Okay. Mark Twain, a.k.a.
Philip.
Okay, so this case specifically took place on November 13th of 2009, which was a Friday. This was when 21-year-old Christina Whitaker was preparing for her first night out, having birthed her daughter Alexandria, who was 6 months old at the time. Alexandria was supposed to stay with Travis Blackwell, who was Christina's boyfriend, and they were supposed to stay at Christina's mother's house. Travis dropped off Christina around 8:30 to 8:45 p.m. at a bar in Hannibal called Rookies. Christina's friends were already there waiting for her, and things get a little confusing here, but from what I've gathered, Christina called Travis around 10:30 p.m. and said she would be home around 12 and asked if he wanted her to bring him any food home. Christina said that she thought she had a ride home, but if anything changed, that she would let him know. I'm not sure if she was drunk on the phone at that 10:30 call, but we do know that by 11:45, Christina was intoxicated enough to get kicked out of Rookies. It was noted by her mom that she was also on prescription drug Xanax and Vicodin. Her friends didn't leave with her, which, find better friends.
100%. That makes me mad. Every time I hear a story about where a girl got left by her friends, like, I quite literally do not care if I do not know you. If you're alone at a bar, mm-hmm. you're coming home with me.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to leave you there. That is the most ridiculous thing ever. I'm going to at least make sure that you get into a car safely. Like, I can't with a good conscience leave somebody by themselves.
That actually just happened to one of our friends, one of the listeners of the podcast. She was at an event, and this girl said, it was something like she was going to meet a guy around Troy, and the event wasn't in Troy. And, you know, she had said, gave her like phone number, address or something, was like, if you feel unsafe, like, you can come over here, because she's a girl. She's a girl. She was going to meet a random guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, and something happened where she did feel unsafe, and she was too intoxicated to drive. So she went to this stranger's house, pretty much, and she, like, got in contact with her family. It is.
You know?
Yeah, and so
we gotta look out for each other.
We do, because nobody else is.
The men are not.
No. But her friends were like, well, we didn't go because we didn't need to go to jail. Like, I don't even know what that means, but. Yeah.
I don't know what that means either.
I don't know. Yeah, leaving your friends alone, but leaving your friends that are extremely intoxicated alone, like.
Yeah.
Jail. Jail for everybody.
Jail for you.
Well, it's just like, I can't
imagine. You are the Oprah of sentencing.
Jail?
You go to jail. You go to jail.
Look under your seat. It's a ticket to jail.
That's hilarious.
Okay, but soon after she was kicked out of Rookies, she walked to River City Billards to ask people for a ride. Some of them were friends, some of them weren't. No one gave her a ride, and she left and went to Sportsman Bar. And all of these bars were within, like, a 1 minute walk of each other. Like, they're all right in the same vicinity.
Okay.
But I do want to add, for some of our listeners that aren't local, that might live in bigger cities, that Hannibal is very small. And it might seem very odd that you're like, well, she was walking from bar to bar asking people for a ride. Where we live, it's pretty much, I could walk into any bar at any given time and, like, find somebody that I know well enough to get a ride home.
Yeah.
I know that, like, if you're in Vegas or, like, New York or something, that
don't
sounds
do that.
Like, yeah, that sounds like crazy, but Hannibal's, everybody really kind of knows everybody there, or at least to a certain degree.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, it's not quite like what you think about where you walk into the grocery store and you can't see anybody that you don't know, but, like, I mean, if there's a group of 50 people, chances are you know somebody.
Yeah. Or at least, like, have met, like, acquaintance with.
Yeah.
And
in general, like, in this kind of environment, you do tend to trust people.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Which gets people in trouble, but.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's kind of how we are.
Yeah, it really is. That's a small town atmosphere. But anyway, back to the Sportsman Bar. The bartender that night was Vanessa Swank, who was a family friend of Christina's. She said that Christina got to the bar right before they started closing up, and Vanessa alleged that while Christina was in there, she saw her arguing with a person on the phone, and then Christina started crying and bolted out of the back door of the bar. This, unfortunately, was the last time anyone saw Christina. Saturday morning, when Travis woke up for work, he realized Christina still wasn't home, and he was unable to get a hold of her on her cell phone, so he called Christina's mother, Cindy Young, who was currently out of town in Texas with Christina's father. Cindy quickly felt something was wrong and headed back home and had a family member that was able to babysit Alexandria, the baby, while Travis went to work. Note that this isn't Travis's kid. The father of the child was a different person, but she had been with Travis for, like, a couple months at this point.
Okay.
So I'm not really sure how Travis felt, but it seemed that he might have not been, like, super worried yet because he still went to work.
Yeah.
But he might have thought that maybe she just fell asleep at a friend's house or something.
Yeah.
That day, outside of an apartment building near the bar, a man found Christina's phone, and it was eventually given to police. But unfortunately, this didn't become super useful. Evidence in finding Christina was pretty sparse. Christina was not reported missing until that next day, which was Sunday. The captain of the Hannibal Police Department said, quote, "It's not uncommon to have a person gone for a day or two, but after that, we start taking a hard look at what's going on," end quote.
Yeah.
Which we said before. you should take every case seriously until you know not to. I will never understand that.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, a day isn't that. I feel like it's not that unheard of. Like, she went to the bar. Mm-hmm. We know she was drinking. Like, maybe she did crash at a friend's house. I mean, it's weird that she doesn't have her cell phone. Like, it's definitely odd.
Right.
But I could see how they wouldn't panic until it had been a full day.
Well, her mom was panicking first.
I know, but what if her mom just has anxiety because...
Mood.
Literally anything that happens to me, I panic.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, you know? I just feel like if you can't get a hold of me and we were supposed to do something and then you call, like, Ian and my parents and, like, Caitlin and, like, nobody's heard of me... And I'm not replying to Snapchats or text messages. You need to call, please.
I mean, obviously with today's, like, modern technology, it would be difficult to go missing for, like, a full 24 hours and nobody hear from you and you have no opportunity to reach out.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you're drinking too much and you smashed your phone and, like, then you went to so-and-so's house and then they were hungover and you didn't want to walk and you were waiting for them to get up and, like, da-da-da-da-da. Like, I could see how it would take...
Yeah.
Like, a full day for... I could see how it could. I'm not saying that it normally does. But I could see, you know, the police not being super worried at a day. But 2 days, I would be like, whoa.
Oh, I don't even wait the 2 days for me to start freaking out. I don't even wait a day because...
I would probably be freaking out personally, but I'm saying, like, I could understand why the police would be like...
Right.
Everything's probably fine.
Yeah, well...
We'll start... It's, like, on our radar, but we're not, like, super looking yet. You know what I mean?
Right. Isn't that first 48 the most important, though?
I think so.
But see, my...
But they didn't know that she was, like, taken. You know what I mean? I don't know if she was taken or not. Yeah. But, like, if they don't know that she's taken, they think that she just got too drunk because she got kicked out of a bar.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah, I just...
They aren't thinking that something tragic has happened.
I freak out prematurely, mainly because a couple years ago with somebody that I used to date, we had plans. And I super, like, over-exaggerate, like, freak out over every little thing. Mm-hmm. We all know this.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to go to a concert, and he wasn't replying. And it was, like, a couple hours up to that concert. And as soon as, like, he wasn't replying, I started, like, freaking out.
Yeah.
And, like, I had called him, and, like, no reply, nothing. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this man's dead. And everybody's like, oh, you're freaking out for no reason. Nope. He had gotten into a severe car accident, and he was in the hospital. And I was like, so now when everybody's like, oh, like, I'm sure they're just busy. No, they got in a car accident. They're in a hospital somewhere.
I mean, like, that makes sense that you have that thought. And like I said, I do think that the police should take it seriously. I'm just saying I could see how they would also not be super worried a day into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And to reiterate with our last one, if people just stopped confessing to crimes that they didn't do, the police would have more free time.
Of course. And then they would be able to take everything seriously because they'd be bored.
Exactly. I would love a society where police were bored.
Yeah, that would be great.
On the next episode of Murder and Misery, we're going to figure out how to make that happen.
I mean, with the amount of episodes we already have, I could see why the police are not bored.
True. True.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So everybody in the articles were saying that it was suspicious that Christina wasn't reported sooner. And this upset me because I don't see any of these articles saying how Christina's mom called the police on her drive back from Texas, like, immediately after she found out the next day that she hadn't came home.
Yeah.
She said that she called the police, but they told her that she had to file a missing persons report in person, which, if you don't have family that lives there, that seems like a stupid rule. And this was 2009, so I don't know.
That is kind of a weird rule.
Right? Like, I don't know if that is still how it is, but... Her parents didn't get back home in Missouri until after midnight, so they had to file it the next morning, which was Sunday.
Right.
So everybody in the articles were like, oh, it's so sketchy that her missing persons report wasn't filed until then, and, like, trying to, like, say her mom's suspicious. Her mom literally tried. And
yeah,
I don't know if they just... I watched a interview that was, like... Honestly, it was pretty shoddy. It was, like, filmed... It looked like it was filmed on, like, an old school, like, camcorder in their bedroom or living room of Christina's parents. And, you know, they had talked about it. I don't know if all these journalists just didn't look at it, but it didn't sit right with me how they kind of, like...
Well, also, I mean, I'm not a detective, but I've heard that you can't report someone missing unless they've been missing for 24 hours. Well, unless you, like, witness them being kidnapped or something like that.
That is a thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that, like, seems like a silly rule.
Yeah, and I do understand, like, it is kind of a silly rule, but I think it goes along the same lines of, like, the police are thinking it's not unheard of for somebody to be gone for a day, but it is weird for them to be gone for two.
Yeah, you know, that makes sense.
So I think it's along that same lines. I mean, I do think there are many cases where it would have been helpful if they had started looking sooner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know. I don't know. I don't know why they don't, but I can see why they would think, let's see if she comes home. But at the same time, obviously this case didn't work out.
I feel like there has to be a different... Maybe that's for adults, because I feel like kids...
Oh, I think it is for adults.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, I think with kids, like... They say if you don't have them in the first 48 hours, like,
the same rule applies for adults. But they're thinking, I mean, we had that lady that left Troy on her own free will.
Right. Yeah.
And if you're over 18, who's to say you didn't just up and leave because you were having a nervous breakdown? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, you're not in harm's way. And in theory, you're just going to come back.
Right. That makes sense.
So I think that, I mean, that's what I've heard that they say anyway. Like, they probably just left. They're coming back, you know?
Yeah. I guess that does make sense. But
there are definitely a lot of cases where it would be helpful if we didn't follow that rule. But I do think that they kind of try and stick to that.
To reduce their workload.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. But it was just that the journalist, like, didn't. It was, like, only this one YouTuber. I feel like
they're just trying to make drama.
Right. And it was, like, this one small YouTuber that had just posted, like, this, not even docuseries, it was just an interview. And I watched it with her parents, and I was just like, okay, like, did nobody see this? Like, it was weird.
I feel like, and this is just my personal opinion, don't come for me, but I feel like a lot of times people just copy and paste articles or, like, rewrite the order of things, like, plagiarism is wrong. But I do feel like a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I Google, like, something simple, like, let's say, how to make a chocolate chip cookie, sometimes the text will be identical on three websites. Like, somebody had literally copied and pasted it.
That's crazy. I mean, like, I use all the different sites, but I use all of them.
You know? I'm just saying, like, I feel like sometimes they really do just copy and paste.
Yeah, there was one with Tanner's where I was using a source, and I also watched a video on it, and the video was the girl reading the source, and the source wasn't listed. That's the thing about YouTube. All these true crime people, they never list their sources. And I think that's why.
Could be us.
And not us. You ain't gonna catch us up in that. But I am glad that this...
All sources will be linked in the description.
Literally all of them. Even if I, like, Wikipedia something, it's there. But this YouTuber that did, you know, do her due diligence and giving her parents a voice is named Gina Marie Wright. So it's a very short interview, but I definitely, if you're interested in hearing firsthand about this case, recommend it. And that will be linked in the show notes.
Perfect.
But what's weird about this case is that once an actual investigation started, nothing really added up. Like, all these witnesses were at the bar, and I'm sure most of them were drinking, but it's weird because, like, the bartender said Christina got too drunk and was getting physical and then got kicked out of the bar via the back door. And that was that. But the bouncer at the bar said Christina was back in the bar with the guy shortly after. But another person said Christina left willingly with three or four guys. And, like, all of those can't be true at the same time.
Yeah.
So, and it's weird how all these different people have different accounts of what they saw with involving the same person.
I don't think it's that weird because they were probably also drunk.
Yeah. And, like, I guess bouncers and, like, staff drink, but I feel like they shouldn't. Like, if your job is to be security, you should be aware.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just saying, like, I don't know if bartenders and bouncers drink a lot, but especially they do.
Well, I don't know. Listen, Troy, Missouri. Okay. We do things a little different here.
I've never even seen a bouncer in Troy.
I've been a bouncer in Troy.
I have too!
Were we there at the same time?
At the pumpkin patch?
No, okay. That's a me binary. No, I was a bouncer at a bar in Troy for approximately 15 minutes. Okay. The bouncer was too drunk, and the owner was like, hey, can you please stand here and check people's IDs? I was like, sure.
Did you get free drinks? Like, what did you do that
for? I don't drink. I was sober. I mean, like, I do drink sometimes, but
yeah.
Half the time I'm at the bar, like, even the owners of the bar, there's one of these girls was, like, very much passed out, and the EMS and everybody had to come, and she ended up not being of age. And oh, the person she rode there with, she used to go to our church. That's how I knew her. The person she had rode there with was intoxicated, and he was trying to drive her home. And they were like, if you get in your car, I'm literally going to watch you go down the road and pull you over. Like, he said, you're not going to make it too much out of the parking lot. And so they asked me if I could take her home, and the police were like, and the EMS were like, have you been drinking? And the owner of the bar was like, she's not been drinking. She's a good noodle. She's the most responsible person here.
A good noodle.
She's funny.
Well,
but
you are a good noodle.
I mean, yeah, I'm there to serve and protect patrons of Troy, Missouri's
intoxicated. Well, I didn't know that bouncers got that drunk, but I do think that's probably why the stories don't add up.
Yeah, which, I mean,
Did they not have cameras? They should have had cameras.
This is 2009.
Dang.
And even some of the bars here still don't have cameras.
I know, they should, though.
Mm-hmm. And help a lot. Anyway, so, of course, like we saw in a lot of our other cases that took place in small towns, quickly the rumor mill started turning. Some...
I can only imagine.
Yeah. Some were saying Christina was involved with drugs. Others said that she was having an affair with some of the cops in Hannibal. And some even said that Christina was being an informant for the police. By November 23rd, Christina was still missing, and the Hannibal Police Department reached out to the FBI for help. The FBI cased Hannibal, bringing out boats and dogs, and found no signs of Christina. This is when investigators started looking closely at Travis, Christina's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. A few months after Christina's disappearance, Travis, Christina's parents, and Dustin Johnson, who was the father of Alexandria, all went on the Steve Wilkos show. Because they were being accused of this, and
I'm shocked.
They wanted to do a polygraph test to prove to the world.
It's just that you did not have to do it on TV.
Travis failed two tests for the involvement in her disappearance, and Steve Wilkos said that he thinks Travis dumped Christina's body in the Mississippi River, and obviously this upset Christina's mother, and she said she believes Travis is innocent and wouldn't have done anything like this.
Oh, okay. Right,
so she's 100% said that he's, like, a good boy, like, he had no involvement. Though some friends reported that there was some domestic violence between Christina and Travis during their relationship, but none of that can be confirmed.
Okay.
It is believed by many that Christina had been kidnapped and thrown into sex trafficking in Illinois, which is, like, right across the river from Hannibal.
Yeah.
Though Christina is still missing to this day, there have been many reports of seeing her over the years. One waitress said that she saw Christina a few days after she went missing, while another says that she was in a mental hospital with Christina and that Christina told her about being trafficked.
Hmm.
A police officer in Peoria, Illinois, said he believes he saw Christina in 2010, but she ran before he could get an ID. Some people believe she left on purpose or that she became disoriented between her meds and the alcohol and possibly drowned in the Mississippi. But Christina's mother knows that her daughter is still alive out there and is desperate to bring her home. She said she still regularly travels to Peoria to search for her daughter. Christina M. Whitaker is
I kind of trust her intuition because, like, she, as soon as Travis called and she was like, hey, she didn't come home. I have to go to work. Like, I don't know what to do. She immediately left. Like, she knew something was, like, seriously wrong. So I kind of trust her.
Yeah. Mother's intuition is very real.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, if she feels like she's still out there.
Mm-hmm. Like, which, like, with all these sightings, like, I understand. And, you know, another thing, if there's no body.
Could be.
You know. But Christina M. Whitaker is a white female, 5'6", 125 pounds, with red shoulder-length hair, brown eyes, and freckles. She has a tattoo of a pot leaf Care Bear on her right ankle and an angel on her left shoulder. She also has a scar on her left femur, as well as a C-section scar, a scar on her left knee, and an indentation on her knee as well. If you have any information on Christina's whereabouts, contact the Hannibal, Missouri Police Department or the Missing Persons Awareness Network at 312 620-0788.
That's spooky.
Yeah, and I another thing.
It's just spooky that people keep seeing her.
Right, and I mean, I will say, like, you know, we've known people that have been trafficked. Like, it is a very real thing.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked in several cases about, like, you know, they fill your head with lies and they have people watching you at all the time, at all times. And, like, if you try to leave, we'll go after your mom or your baby or whatever. Like, it's hard not to believe those things.
Right. And another, like, and I know that there are some people that feel very strongly, you know, about addiction and stuff like that. But, like, if I see somebody, like, I saw somebody that was, like, very much on drugs today. And, like, it's very easy to, like, want to judge them. But then at the same time, what if that was somebody's daughter who, because that's what they do. They use drugs to get them addicted so that they don't leave. So it's, like, I mean, you can laugh and be, like, crackhead or whatever. But, like, at the end of the day, that literally could be somebody's child.
It is somebody's child.
Well, definitely somebody's child, but, like, you know? Somebody who got kidnapped and, like, forced to do this stuff. Like, not every person that's on drugs is on drugs because they just decided they wanted to try drugs one day. Like, that's not how that works. So.
Well, it also rarely happens that people wake up and decide, I want to be a drug addict. Like, they have a friend who's like, hey, I have been suffering with whatever, like, whatever you're having issues with, let's say weight gain, for example, and I started using this, and, like, it's helped me a ton, and I love it. Like, do you want to try it? And then you're like, no way, you're crazy. And then they continuously are like, it's working for me, it could work for you, like, that kind of thing. And then it's like, you do it once, and then you want it again, and then you want it again, and then you want it again, and then you try something new, and then it's like, you look back, and it's been 6 months.
Right.
And you've been using for 6 months. Like, it doesn't happen that people wake up and say, I want to throw away my life.
Right. Or you, I know people who were straight-A Star Trek students who got injured, went to the hospital, you know, got put on painkillers, and then stopped getting painkillers, and it's too late, they were already addicted.
Yep.
And they went to the streets to find something else that worked for them.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's sad.
The brain is a very powerful thing.
Like, yeah.
It's... I'm not saying that there's absolutely no responsibility. There is some responsibility, but it's not completely choice.
Yeah.
It is a disease of the mind.
Yep. And that doesn't mean it's like cancer, which is a disease of the body.
Yeah.
But we also got to look at people that were born addicted. They didn't get a choice in that.
Yep.
So, yeah, just, I guess, well, just never judge people. That's bad. Just never judge people and love everybody. What is this? This church sermon?
I know, right?
But, yeah, it just made me sad that people kind of, like, tried to make... Because she, I mean, she was trashed at a bar. Who hasn't been trashed at a bar? Like, that doesn't mean that she was some, like, crackhead that went off the rails. Yeah. Like, it just makes me sad some of these articles... It
doesn't make your life worthless.
Right.
So.
And, yeah.
I agree with that for sure.
Anyway, so... So, that was the still unsolved case of Christina Whitaker.
Well, I really hope that her family can find her for once and for all. I hope that her boyfriend did not dump her body in the Mississippi. I also hope that she did not drown in the Mississippi. That would be awful. I mean, it's awful that she's missing anyway, but just another layer of awfulness.
And they had her daughter in the interview.
They did.
They did. And, you know, the grandma was like, you know, she still, like, cries that you're not here sometimes. And I'm just like, and her daughter is, like, grown now. Well, like, she was, like, I don't know, probably, like, 12 or something during the interview.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That makes me sad.
Yeah.
That sucks. I hope that if she really is out there and these people actually are seeing her, that somebody can get a hold of her and get her the help that she needs if she is addicted to drugs through sex trafficking or human trafficking, whatever you want to call it. That's awful.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you see something, say something.
If you see something, take a video so we could know. Because I feel like that is another hard part about, like, these sightings. Like, it is weird to, like, whip out your phone and record in public, but, like, at the same time, it's also not that weird anymore. And Heck, if they can get a glimpse of that angel tattoo or whatever that's on her shoulder and they feel like it really is her, then they can pull cameras from businesses and banks and whatever else to, like, try and figure out, like, where she came from, where she went, like, and get her back to her family. But if you just say, oh, I think I saw her, then they don't really have anything to go off of and they don't know if it's true or not. So with all missing person cases, I feel like if you really think that that you saw that person, go back, take a picture, take a video, whatever you got to do, and have, like, a little bit more evidence for the police so that they can go full force, because we need them to go full force.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Murder and misery tip from Heather.
I just think it would be so helpful because I feel like, I mean, I hear people say, oh, I think I saw so-and-so, and it's like...
word of mouth.
I mean, how do I know if you really did see them? Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know, that totally makes sense.
The police probably get the same thing with, like, people calling to be like, I murdered her, when they absolutely did not murder mm-hmm. that person. They probably get hundreds of fake sightings a day. So how are they supposed to know if it's true or not?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So if you got a video, then they know.
And it takes 2 seconds. Everybody has smartphones. Everybody has a camera, cell phone, you know? Yeah. So I definitely think that would be helpful. And that's a really good tip.
Thank you.
FBI investigator of the world.
I'm not an investigator. We've discussed. I would be terrible. I would be like, you just sound like you're guilty to me. Sounds good.
You admitted to it? All right.
You want to go to jail? Awesome. You do jail. Whatever. Oh, well, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. If you haven't already, please follow us on our Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok accounts. And we will be back together next week with another one.
And our locals, I hope you're having a wonderful fair week. All right. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.